Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight we have a very special show because I have a co-host that is going to be with me tonight. She is from Massachusetts. We'll let her explain exactly where. Her name is Stephanie Goddard, a singer, an award-winning singer, actually. And we're going to be discussing and listening to the music of Frank Sinatra. So we'll tell you how this all came to be right now. Let's say, hi, Stephanie. Nice to see you.
Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for having me on the program. I'm really excited to be here. We've tried to get together and do this for a couple of years now, so I'm really excited it finally came to pass.
A long time in the making. Stephanie and I are old friends, and occasionally we would talk about, we got to do a show. And the opportunity came up just this week when I found out that the scheduled guest I had a conflict. And so I said, ooh, I'm going to call Stephanie, see if she'll come on. So she is Zooming with us. So I can see her, you can't. But she is in beautiful downtown Woburn, Massachusetts. Not too far from what we used to call 128.
Exactly.
In the for those of you that are in Rhode Island and have never been out of the state before, you just go north a little ways, and eventually you get up near the Burlington Wall. That's kind of a landmark. Then you'll find Stephanie somewhere not too far from there. Although you and I are known to each other by singing, you are not at the current time a professional singer. You work for a little company doing some odds and ends called.
I work for a little company called IBM.
IBM, yeah, that's just a little little group. I've heard of them.
I have been here since
1998.
So almost since I could walk.
That's right. You're only three when you started with IBM. It's going to be a fun show tonight. We decided to do the music of Frank Sinatra, and I pulled out a particular CD that I like, which is a Capitol Records recording called Classic Sinatra, His Greatest Performances from 1953 to 1960. And we're going to stick with that, with the songs from that album, except for one exception at the very end, which we'll tell you about. But right now, what qualifies you to be a Frank Sinatra, you know, aficionado?
I think that I have loved Frank Sinatra ever since I was little. Growing up, my parents listened to Perry Como, who was my grandmother's favorite, and Tony Bennett and Frank Sinatra. So I was introduced when I was very young. Then when I got a little bit older, my oldest daughter got really into him when she was about seven. So my oldest daughter, Molly. So through her, I kind of started to revisit it. And now I'm just in love with him, especially the years that we're looking at. I love the Capitol years.
Well, it's interesting that it's so, you know, you would think some singers are generational. For example, if you said Andy Williams, you might have a segment of people that are over, you know, 65 that remember Andy Williams, but not a whole lot of fans since then. Same with Perry Como or whatever. But Sinatra seems to bridge the gaps of generations, and his music continues to survive.
For Molly's 10th birthday, we brought her to a Frank Sinatra brunch. That was her big birthday thing that she wanted.
Now, this wasn't Frank Sinatra actually there. This is
No, it was just you had brunch while they played Frank Sinatra in the background. But it was super cool, and she loved it.
Right.
But now, with singing in a quartet, we have the opportunity to sing some of our favorite Frank Sinatra songs, and it's kind of opened all of that back up to me. I've gotten much more into Frank Sinatra and kind of the background and the trivia behind behind each song and things like that. So I think it's he's a really interesting character. He led a really interesting life. And I think we're looking at such a great period of time for his music.
All right. Well, let's get to a piece of music. The first one is We've Got the World on a String. Any little tidbit you want to share on this one before we hear it?
Well, sure. So it was first recorded by Cab Calloway in 1932, but then Bing Crosby recorded it in 1933 with the Dorsey Brothers, which ironically, Frankie made it really big with Tommy Dorsey Band. And that was after he left Harry James. Harry James discovered him at some little inn called the Rustic Cabin, but it was recorded by Frankie in the Capitol years in 1953.
I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. I got a song that I sing, I can make the rain go. Anytime I move my finger, lucky me, can't you see I'm in love? Life is a beautiful thing, as long as I hold the string. I'd be a silly so-and-so if I should ever let it go. I got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. Life is a beautiful thing, as long as I hold the string. I'd be a silly so-and-so if I should ever let it go. I got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a world. Man, this is a lie. Hey now, I'm so in
So there you go, Frank Sinatra singing World on a String. Now back to Stephanie for the next song that we have in our hit parade.
So the next song we have is Can't Take That Away From Me. And the story behind this song is that it was actually, the music was written by George Gershwin. The lyrics were written by Ira Gershwin. It was introduced by Fred Astaire in the film Shall We Dance in 1937. The real interesting piece of this is that Gershwin wrote this song as an ode to Paulette Goddard, who was secretly married to Charlie Chaplin at the time. He had this torch for her. And so the song was performed in that movie, Shall We Dance? And Fred Astaire sang it to Ginger Rogers. And that all happened before Frankie recorded it, and I don't have that date. Mike,
well,
I'm sure you might.
I do have the date. It was 1953 also, and we'll listen to They Can't Take That Away From Me.
There are many, many crazy things that will keep me loving you. And with your permission, may I list a few. The way you wear your hat, the way you sip your tea, the memory of all that. No, no, they can't take that away from me. The way your smile just beams,
The way you sing off key, the way you haunt my dreams. No, no, they can't take that away from me. We may never, never meet again on that bumpy road to love. Still I'll always, always keep the memory of the way you hold your knife, do-do-do-do-do-do. The way we danced until three, the way you've changed my life. No, no, they can't take that away from me. No, they can't take that away from me.
Now, I think you missed a great opportunity, Stephanie. You mentioned in that introduction for the last song that it was written for someone named Goddard. And that's
that's
your name. So
that would be my name, yes.
So it was your husband's grandmother?
Maybe it was my husband's father's grandmother.
All right. Well, let's get to keep the music rolling. And this is one of my favorites that I've had a chance to sing
many times.
In the wee small hours of the morning. Tell us about this.
So this is actually the title track of his album from 1955. It was written by David Mann and Bob Hilliard. That whole album is an album of torch songs about like loneliness and heartbreak. And it's actually drawn from Sinatra's personal struggles with his divorce from his wife, Nancy, and his troubled marriage to actress Ava Gardner. But it's actually considered to be the first concept album ever. And it's been covered by Liza Minnelli, Barbara Streisand, Carly Simon, Diana Krall. So like you were saying before, Mike, it's multi-generational.
All right, here we go.
In the wee small hours of the morning, while the whole wide world is fast asleep, you lie awake and think about the girl, and never ever think of counting sheep. When your lonely heart has learned its lesson, you'd be hers if only she would call. In the wee small hours of the morning, that's the time you miss her most of lesson, you'd be hers if only she would call. In the wee small hours of the morning, that's the time you miss her most. Oh,
the very mellow sound of Wee Small Hours of the Morning. And now we kind of change gears a little bit to a song called I've Got You Under My Skin.
So, I've Got You Under My Skin was written by Cole Porter in 1936, and it debuted in the MGM musical Born to Dance. It was nominated for an Academy Award that same year for Best Original Song, but it actually lost to The Way You Look Tonight from Fred Astaire and Rogers' film Swing Time. Frank began performing this song on his weekly radio show in 1946, and that's how it became one of the songs he was known for. But a very interesting tidbit about this song is that he re-recorded this song in 1993 with U2 frontman Bono. And they were supposed to do this recording at this, like, tavern, but they got there and they started having technical issues and it delayed the shoot, right? It was supposed to be like a video, and Sinatra got really mad. He got PO'd and he stormed out because that, you know, he was known for his temper. So the director ended up piecing the video together from existing footage of Sinatra and with shots of Bono singing his part into a monitor. So
a great story. This is the arrangement we're going to hear right now was done by Nelson Riddle, and the orchestra is conducted by Nelson Riddle. We'll listen to this, then take a short break and be back with more of Frank Sinatra.
I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me. So deep in my heart that you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin. I tried so not to give in. I said to myself, this affair never will go so well. But why should I try to resist when, baby, I know so well? I've got you under my skin. I'd sacrifice anything come what might for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats, repeats in my ear. Don't you know, little fool, you never can win. Use your mentality, wake up to reality. But each time that I do, just the thought of you makes me stop before I begin. 'Cause I've got you under my skin. Sacrifice anything, come what might, for the sake of having you near, in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats how it yells in my ear. Don't you know, little fool, you never can win. Why not use your mentality? Step up, wake up to reality.
just the thought of you makes me stop just before I begin. 'Cause I've got you under my skin. Yes, I've got you under my skin.
The music of Frank Sinatra is the subject of tonight's program. I'm Mike Maino, very pleased to be having a co-host tonight. Stephanie Goddard is hosting with me. She is Zooming from Massachusetts, so we are safely social distanced by about 100 miles. And
we are.
Yeah, and we've been talking about the music of Frank Sinatra. Stephanie is a big fan, as I am. She has a lot more details than I do about his life and times, so that's why I've asked her to be here. But you mentioned something at the top of the show where you sing in a quartet, and have for quite a while now. And a lot of people may not be aware that the early years of Frank Sinatra, his real break, came in a quartet called the Hoboken Four, right?
That's absolutely right. He sang baritone.
That's right. And he was tall and he had a car. And that's why the other three guys hired him. They were originally a trio. And his mother, Frank's mother, kind of talked the trio into hiring him and said, he can drive you around, he's got a car. So then they became a quartet. Lots of interesting stories about his background.
But there are a lot. His mother, we could do a whole show on his mother, Dolly. She was really into local politics and
right.
was really, his dad owned a tavern. He had a colorful upbringing.
All right, but we're going to stick mostly to the information about the songs. We've covered four so far. We've got about another half dozen to go. This next one is Witchcraft.
Yes, Witchcraft. In 1957, while Sinatra was filming Pal Joey in California, the recording company was like really hungry for a new single by Frank. And so the producers got him together, and they wanted to pick something for him to record. They played this song for him first, and he said no. And then they said, just listen to it again. And he listened through it, and the second time through, he was hooked. So just before the recording session in 1957, Sinatra and Nelson Riddle got into a big fight, and they were on the outs, because Nelson Riddle is the one that arranged this for him, right? But Frankie wooed him back for the session so that they could work together and get this piece of music out. And then I'm not sure that Nelson Riddle was pleased, because it took hours and hours for Frank to get Witchcraft right, just because he wanted it perfect. By that point, he was so in love with the song and the arrangement that it needed to be perfect. So that is our background about Witchcraft.
Those fingers in my hair, that sly come hither stare, that strips my conscience bare, it's witchcraft. And I've got no defense for it, the heat is too intense for it, what good would common sense for it do? 'Cause it's witchcraft, wicked witchcraft. And although I know it's strictly taboo, when you arouse the need in me, my heart says yes indeed in me. Proceed with what you're leading me to. It's such an ancient pitch, but one I wouldn't switch, 'cause there's no nicer witch than you. We'll be right back.
witchcraft, that crazy witchcraft. And although I know it's strictly taboo, when you arouse the need in me, my heart says yes indeed in me. Proceed with what you're leading me to. It's such an ancient pitch, but one that I'd never switch, 'cause there's no nicer witch than you.
All right, Stephanie, let's go to another song that was recorded in 1957.
So our next song is All the Way, which I love this song. It's one of my favorites. It was written by Jimmy Van Heusen, and it was introduced in the film Joker is Wild, starring Frank Sinatra. Now, it is also the title track of Frank's 1957 album. It was another one that was arranged by Nelson Riddle. It won Oscar for the best song in 1957. Now, ironically enough, we're talking about Van Heusen. It was actually Van Heusen who wrote the song, who actually rushed Sinatra to the hospital after his breakup with Ava Gardner when Frankie slit one of his wrists. So anyway, just that's how close he was to the writer of this song. And you have to, that's why the Capitol years, I think, are so important in Frank's music. Maybe he wasn't writing the songs, but he was picking his songs, and he was picking the songs that really kind of helped him through some of the darkest times of his life. So that's what I have for All the Way.
When somebody loves you, it's no good unless he loves you. All the way. Happy to be near you when you need someone to cheer you. All the way. Taller than the tallest tree is, that's how it's got to feel. Deeper than the deep blue sea is, that's how deep it goes, if it's real. When somebody needs you, it's no good unless he needs you. All the way. Through the good or lean years, and for all the in-between years, come what may. Who knows where the road will lead us? Only a fool would say. But if you let me love you, it's for sure I'm gonna love you all the way. All the way. Let me love you, it's for sure I'm gonna love you all the way. All the way.
Sticking with 1957, here's another one.
So the next song is Come Fly With Me. It was actually written for Frank Sinatra, and it was the title track of his album of the same name. And the song really sets a tone for the rest of the album, describing adventures in exotic locales like Bombay, Peru, Acapulco. It was designed to be a musical trip around the world. That's the way Frank had envisioned it. It's fun. It's his first collaboration with Billy May as the arranger and conductor. So enjoy. Come Fly With Me.
We'll listen to that, take a short break, and be back with more of the Stephanie Goddard Show.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me. Let's fly away. Come fly with me. Let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near, you may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. Just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near, you may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. You just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.
The music of Frank Sinatra is the subject of tonight's Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, very pleased to have a co-host with me tonight. Stephanie Goddard is here. She is a Frank Sinatra trivia buff and lover. Stephanie, did you ever think when you were younger, perhaps maybe before you were married, that if you were at the right time in the right place, would you have gone after Frank Sinatra, knowing what you know now?
Knowing what I know now... Maybe he was so cute. He was so cute when he was younger.
I know, but let's think of all the stories you've now heard about how his temper and stuff like that.
Yeah, he definitely, maybe a younger Frankie before the Vegas years. Maybe I would be interested in the younger version of
the Hoboken, Frank. The Hoboken Frankie.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Definitely.
All right, we've covered quite a bit of music. We have one for my baby coming up. Tell us about this.
So One for My Baby was a song that was written by Harold Arlen. He wrote the music, and Johnny Mercer wrote the lyrics. And allegedly, Mercer was inspired to write this torch song by Judy Garland. So she was 13 years younger than him, and he, for years, carried on a long-standing extramarital affair with her. So very interesting.
Let's make sure everybody's listening. Not Frank Sinatra you're talking about.
Oh, no. This was Mercer. This is Johnny Mercer, right. The guy who wrote the lyrics.
Right, okay.
So it was written for a movie musical called The Sky is the Limit in 1943. And it was performed in the film by Fred Astaire and inspired by Judy Garland.
It's 2:45. There's no one in the place except you and me. So set 'em up, Joe. I got a little story I think you should know. We're drinking, my friend, to the end of a brief episode. Make it one for my baby and one more for the road. I got the routine. Put another nickel in the machine. Feeling so bad. Can't you make the music easy and sad? I could tell you a lot, but you've gotta be true to your code. Just make it one for my baby and one more for the road. You'd never know it, but buddy, I'm a kind of poet, and I got a lot of things I'd like to say. And when I'm gloomy, won't you listen to me till it's talked away? Well, that's how it goes. And Joe, I know you're getting anxious to close. And thanks for the cheer. I hope you didn't mind my bending your ear. But this torch that I found, it's gotta be drowned, or it soon might explode. So make it one for my baby and one more for the road. The long, it's so long, the long,
Stephanie, you and I have commented as we've listened to some of this music that it's so familiar that lots of times you just have to hear the first note or two and you know what's coming. And
exactly.
It's amazing that how this lives in the minds of different generations, as we've talked about. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are familiar with obviously all of the Frank Sinatra music, a lot of them. And some of them are going to be relatively new listeners that hear this. We have quite a few of the younger generation that pick up these, both the show and the podcast, and listen around the world. And so some people might be getting new information and hearing new music. So that's pretty exciting. And it's always a pleasure to listen to someone that has as much interest as you do about some kind of music. And you're doing it nice and easy, too. Get it? Was that smooth?
What a nice lead-in, Mike. Thank you. Yes. Well, thank you. I'm very thrilled to be able to be here and spend a little time with you to talk about one of my favorite artists. So our next song is Nice and Easy. It was released as a single in 1960, and it made it to number 60 on the charts. It was the title track of the album. And the album itself was nominated in the categories of Best Vocal Performance, single or track for male, best performance by pop single artist. Sinatra actually lost that Grammy in both of these categories to Ray Charles in his recording of Georgia On My Mind. You win some, you lose some.
I know, but it's still a great song.
Let's take it nice and easy. It's gonna be so easy for us to fall in love. Hey, baby, what's your hurry? Relax and don't you worry. We're gonna fall in love. Safe to say, but let's make all the stops along the way. The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime. Along the way, the problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime, 'cause nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time. Like the man says one more time. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time.
Well, Stephanie, this was planned to be the end of the program, but you had a request, and I wanted to grant your request, because this next song that we're going to hear, that we're going to close with, was not from that period of time from 1953 to 1960, a recording we're going to listen to that came much later, actually October of 1974 at Madison Square Garden. Before we hear that, I want to thank you so much for coming on the program and being with us and bringing your expertise and your stories and your behind-the-scenes stuff. It was great. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me, Mike. This was so much fun. We've been wanting to do this for so long, so I'm just glad that we got the opportunity.
But it sounds like, because we selected music from 1953 to 1960, that there has to be another show at some point in time.
I think there does have to be another show, because, as I said to you while we were on the break, you know, when you get into the 60s, Frank's life is on the upswing, and, you know, everything mm-hmm. becomes so much happier and lighter, and it's so fun to just explore him through those years as well.
So we definitely have a Stephanie show number 2 and maybe a Stephanie show number 3 down the road, so that'll
Who
be
knows?
Something to look
Who
forward
knows?
To. All right, so this last song that I described is a song that you requested, which is called...
The last song that I requested was My Way, and the reason why I requested it is because this song is so special to me. I have a really hard time hearing this song without tearing up. So my dad worked at Fenway Park for years and years and years, and through that time, he got to be really good friends with some of the Red Sox, and one of them was Yaz, Karol Yastrzemski. He was a part of my dad's life for about 30 years. They were really, really good friends. My dad was with him when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. So on Yaz Day, they did a montage of his whole career and played this song. And it was just so special to me. And as we were prepping for this show, I was trying to go out and find the montage for you. So I'm Googling all over the place, and I find this video of the day that Yaz retired, and there is my dad from 40 years ago standing in the dugout between Yaz and Dwight. And it was just so, this is just a really special song to me, and it just says so much. So
right, it says a lot to a lot of people. You'll hear in this recording, which was recorded live at Madison Square Garden, you'll hear him tell the audience, we're now going to have the national anthem, but you don't have to stand up. You'll actually hear him say that. And then he starts singing the song. Stephanie, thank you so much.
Thanks, Mike.
Here we go.
Had a great time.
See you next time on Conducting Conversations.
We will now do the national anthem, but you needn't rise. And now... the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll make it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, traveled each and every highway, more than this, I did it my way. Regrets I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do. I saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I guess you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. And with it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up, then spit it out. I grew tall through it all, and did it my way. I've loved, laughed,
and cry. I've had my fill, my share of losing. But now, as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that. And may I say, not in a shy way. No, no, not me. I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blow and did it